Checking in this morning with State Senator Bruce Caswell. I trust a pleasant Easter weekend for you and your family, Senator?
Very good weekend. Thank you, Ken. Yes, it was.
And hopefully you found all your Easter eggs.
Well,
otherwise, you'll smell them in a couple of days, right?
That's right. You got it.
Well, about a month ago, middle of March, was really the hot time for tracking down and folks coming and appealing their tax assessments. I didn't hear any major complaints around here. I think things have settled down basically because the cost of land and homes has not risen dramatically here over the next 5 years or so. But you're working on a package of bills. I think we've talked about this a little bit in the past, of simplifying the tax appeals process. Kind of walk us through that a little bit.
Well, you have a lot of things that you can appeal in property taxes. You can appeal a poverty exemption. You can appeal a qualified ag exemption. You can appeal whether or not you get a homestead. You can appeal your classification. All sorts of things. And some of these things, when you appeal them, you go to one place. Other ones, you go to another place. Some of these things, you can appeal the current year, and you can also go back 1 year. Others, you can appeal the current year and go back two. And in some cases, you can appeal the current year, and you can go back 3 years. So it's a very confusing thing that has grown up over the years. Every time we put one of these items into law, it seems to be a little bit different. So we're making everything the same. So, for instance, if you're going to appeal anything in the future, if these bills pass, you would be able to appeal the current year and go back 3 years. And the classification appeals process, if you appeal what class you are, it goes up through, and it ends up in circuit court. Now, there's nothing wrong with circuit court. I love those judges dearly, but they don't know anything about the property tax system. And they're the only place in the entire property tax system that we have a court involved other than the Court of Appeals. And so we're getting them out of the mix. They're going to be dropped out of the mix completely. And we're going to follow the same procedure for classification appeals that we do for other appeals. It'll go to the local Board of Review or the State Tax Commission. Then it goes to the Tax Tribunal. And then it goes to the Michigan Court of Appeals if you want to take it that far. Any other big one is the homestead exemptions. And with the homestead exemptions, there's four different ways that you can find the mistake. In other words, you either got an exemption you didn't deserve, or you didn't have an exemption and you should have had it. And depending on who finds the mistake, it's a completely different appeals process you go through. And so we're going to make that all the same for everybody, so it doesn't matter who finds the mistake. Everybody will follow the same path as far as the appeals procedure for it. And it'll all be current year and go back three. And finally, on some of these steps, if you move from step A to step B, the taxpayer can appeal, but the assessor can't. There's other cases where the assessor can appeal, but the taxpayer can't. And so we've just made it the same all the way through. Anybody can appeal for anything at any point in time. If you feel you've got a complaint, you ought to be able to appeal, plain and simple. And it doesn't matter whether it's the taxpayer or the assessor representing the township or city. So it's a lot of technical things like that that we're putting together. We've got, I think it's safe to say right now, we've got agreement on all the property tax side of things, changing everything. The non-property tax side, you get into corporate taxes and individual income taxes. We're still discussing that, but we're getting close on that one as well. But it's just making it user-friendly so everybody knows what they're doing.
All right. And speaking of technical and cleaning up some of the language of that, we talked a little bit last week with State Representative Ken Kurtz. The Senate also taking up a series of bills in regards to child support payments here in the state of Michigan as well, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we're doing. The Department of Human Services came to us and identified, oh goodness gracious, probably 20, 25 different bills that they wanted run that were, a lot of it was technical stuff to clean up the law so that it's clear and consistent with federal law and so on. And I think the Senate ended up with 13 of those bills, and we've run them through and sent them over to the House. The House was to have about 12 bills. I don't think they've got their bills drafted up yet and got them ready, but they're working on it. and it's just a lot of technical cleanup things. It's no major changes. I guess maybe the one major change talking about is the potential, and we're still working on that, that if a individual does not pay child support as ordered by the court, and you go through all the different things they can do, then the state would be able to capture money from your IRA or your 401k account, your retirement account, for child support. Hmm. And that's only if all other options have been exhausted. The other thing I might mention we're doing with kids, Ken, is and it's ongoing work, is looking at completely changing how we pay for foster care kids, and also changing it to a performance-based system, so that entities, whether it's a private entity or your local DHS office, you'd only get paid if you meet the performance objectives. In other words, keeping kids safe, reducing the number of homes they're in, making sure they have Medicaid as they move from home to home, those types of things. And that's an ongoing discussion, and we're getting real close on that as well.
All right. State Senator Bruce Caswell with us on the line this morning. Are you hearing much feedback from either schools or our parents in the district here about, most schools have had to tack on days to the end of the school year to make up for the snow days? I know there was a change in the law, which I didn't realize, that on those tacked on days, you don't need your full 75% of kids there. You only need 60%. Has there been much in the way of feedback from a pushback from people here locally to you of need to change the system, do something different, allow more flexibility for districts at all?
I haven't heard a lot from parents, and the only teachers I've heard from to a great degree have been the teachers over in Adrian, and they wanted to add hours on the end of the day rather than adding days, and I said, well, I'm not going to support that, because to me it's pretty obvious if a kid misses a day of school, he's got to make up a day of school, or you miss that lesson. You can't make up the lesson by adding 5 minutes on the end of the day. So what the legislature ended up doing was just tacking on days, telling schools they had to tack on days. But there is a provision in state law that if you got to have at least 75% of your kids in the school in order to count it as a day of instruction. And when the law passed, that was changed to 60%. So, you got some parents that maybe have planned things with their kids to go, wherever and so on and so forth, assuming school was going to be out when it was going to be out. So you may have a little bit higher absentee rate on some of these makeup days. And so the state gave the schools flexibility to count the days as long as you got at least 60% of your kids there.
Yeah. Well, I know there are even a couple things like summer camps that were scheduled to start that week right after school that are going to be affected a little bit, like basketball camps and those kinds of things. But again, probably something that happens every once every 10, maybe 20 years. So,
well, I'm an old man, Ken, but I can go back to the early 80s, and we missed, goodness gracious, I think we missed 15 days that year. Hmm. We had a snowstorm come in every weekend. And back then, you didn't have to make up any days. And it was after that winter when the legislature got involved and started saying, you got to make up your days. And at that time, and for quite a while, if you missed more than two snow days, you had to make them up. Hmm. And it was that way up until just a few years ago. And then I think they changed it to six snow days. So, it goes back and forth in the thing. But the whole bottom line deal is the kid's not in school, he's not going to learn, and you want him in school as much as possible. And so the question becomes, what's a reasonable thing to expect? And that's what we're trying to do with this in this particular situation.
All right. Bruce, thanks. And if we don't see you around this week, we'll talk in a couple of weeks, all right?
You take care of yourselves. Have a nice week.
All right. Bye-bye now. That is State Senator Bruce Caswell with us this morning. AM 1590 and FM 95.5 WTVB. As